Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That's the greeting of all the prophets.
Nah, mashallah.
Isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
And we worship the one God, just like Jesus worshipped Abraham, Noah. We worship that one God. We don't mashallah. Worship the sun and the moon, the creator of man and woman, the one God, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And he sent the last and final revelation of mankind, the Quran, verbatim word of God. Is that right? We have it in his original, tamper-free, tamper-proof.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir.
And everything that we're deducing now, you also are a professor at the Fix Online University, and you've also taught around the world, and you deal with a lot of these marriage issues on a regular basis.
Yes, sir.
And so now, we really want to stress, and as I open the show, doing it God's way. Doing it because the society here, we've had the previous revelation, the previous book, been changed by man. So it's hard to deduce the divine guidance, but we have the book that's been preserved. So we can deduce it, right? With
yes.
qualified individuals like yourself.
How about saying?
And that's what we want. We don't want to guesswork and do it, you know, according to what we think is right, because we could be wrong or right. We want to do it God's way. We humbly want to submit. If this is the blueprint, it's verified stamp of approval from God, we want to do it that way rather than how Joe Schmo or Mo think that is the right way.
It's interesting to note when we talk about marriage, the thing that I always see every day is that when there is a problem, you can easily solve the problem if in the beginning the marriage contract was clearly understood. If everybody knew what they were getting into from the beginning. Then when we get towards the end of saying talking about divorce, it's interesting again to note that the Sahaba had a high rate of divorce. You know, there was divorce, the divorce count or census, what you want to say, was high amongst the Sahaba. But there was not a Sikh society. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. The difference is, just like you said, they divorced according to the Sunnah. And they were together in kindness. They let go in kindness. When there were children involved, those children went with their parents. Meaning that if it was the woman got remarried, the children went with the father. And the woman didn't find an excuse to say, well, he can't have them. Why? Because I'm mad at him. They won't say they're mad at him. Say, well, he's not good enough for the child. Well, we understand that the young lady doesn't think the husband is good enough, or they wouldn't be divorced in the first place. But he has a right to those children when she gets divorced. And then you find a woman don't want to, a lot of women, I should say, don't want to hold to that principle or that rule, or they want to find every excuse in the book not to give the man his rights in that regard, okay? And then they complain if the man doesn't provide for them, which a man does not have a right to spend on a woman that does not fulfill the obligations that she has. We call this nishuz. And that's a whole different issue as well. The point is that all these issues should be done instead of in front of a qualified person. The marriage itself should be performed by a qualified mutafaqih or a talib al-ilm or an imam or a sheikh, however we want to use the term, or an alim. That's the one that should perform the marriage, and not any, you know, Baqa Zayd al-Amr, which we say any Tom, Dick, or Harry amongst the Muslims. Likewise, the divorce. It shouldn't take place at home with the husband. Husband gets mad. I divorced. You know, you're divorced. And then, you know, no one knows she's divorced. She doesn't know if she's coming or going. No, the divorce should take place with a qualified individual. And these things should be stated. Going back, if we were talking about polygyny earlier or how to get married, the first thing we have a lot of young people call, or they write me letters and say, how do I get married if I don't know the brother? How do I get married if I don't know the sister? You never know the individual until you're married to them. If you do, then you're having a fake marriage. The girlfriend-boyfriend thing is like play marriage, as I heard you say a couple times. Have a play marriage. You're doing everything. What's the marriage then? And that's why the high rate of zina, you know, is taking place in the society, because they have these little fake marriages. Okay? So how does a person get married in Islam? First of all, if it's a young man or a young lady, you have to convince your parents, if you're living at home, that you are ready for marriage. That if you cannot impress the fact that you are mature enough to the people that know you the best, then you should not be seeking to get married. Because these are the people that know you the best. Now, if your parents are saying, well, when we find this situation, my mother and father only want me to marry somebody from my, you know, people, my race, and I'm interested, or my tribe, and I'm interested in someone who's from another tribe. You know, this issue, parents have to start becoming wiser in their decision making. Your children are not you. Their culture is not your culture. The American culture, walhamdulillah, has overridden all other countries' cultures when you bring them here. And that's not a bad thing in and of itself. It's a bad thing if that American culture itself is bad. Islam seeks to do the same thing, override all cultures and destroy this nationalistic mindset. So alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, we should learn an example from the concept of being an American. It's not a color. What's an American? Just like we say, what's a Muslim? It's every type of color. And that should be the thing that you focus on, whether that person that your child wants to get married to is actually a Muslim following the Sunnah. I suggest to men, if you want to marry a young lady, you go tell your father. And then you get your father to come in and represent you. A lot of times we say the woman has to have a wali. But we notice also that the Prophet ﷺ, when he got married to Khadijah, he went and got Abbas to represent him. And he had for himself a wali, someone to represent him. So I always suggest for the man to go get a wali for himself as well as the lady. And let these adults, these older people, not your man, not your little homie, you know, but someone who has some position in your life to intercede on your behalf and talk to the other family. And the more people involved in the marriage, getting the contract together, the stronger the marriage is going to be. Likewise, if someone, a man now, he wants to get a second wife, this becomes a big issue. A man wants a second wife, he has a wife, he wants to get another one, or a third one.
You're about to meet a man who has four wives, and they'll all say they're one big happy family. And now one family is crusading in court to make their more the merrier lifestyle a legal one. And so far, they're winning.
Lots of men come and say, do I have to tell my wife that I'm getting another wife? Yes. You cannot have secret marriages. The Prophet ﷺ said that we announce the marriages, there is no boyfriend and girlfriend. We announce the marriage, there is no boyfriend and girlfriend. No khalila, no secret love affairs. So how is this done though? Because he said the Prophet didn't announce it to his wives in that manner. What the Prophet ﷺ did and had, he had an understanding with his wives. So what we have to do when you want to get another wife, you have to sit your wife down and say, listen, wife, alhamdulillah, I believe that you're a good wife. Because a lot of women believe you get a second wife because she's broken of some sorts. No, I believe you're a good wife. However, I would like to get another wife. I don't have another wife. You do this before you find another sister. You go to yourself, you find yourself with your wife, and you say, hey, I would like to get another wife. You know, in fact, why don't we do this? You know, it takes some time to discuss it, you know, how to actually do this. But the first thing he should do is sit his wife down and explain to her that he wants to get another wife, but he doesn't have one right now, and he wants her to understand that. If she understands it, she doesn't have to agree, and he doesn't have to convince her. He just has to let her know this is where he's at. And if he leaves it alone like that, then by nature, the situation will adjust to his favor. Okay? She will say, I don't like it. He will say, I understand that. I'm just telling you where I'm at. And then let time go.
So we covered it earlier. We got to take a break. But again, for the people that watched the part one to this episode, this is the legacy of the prophets of God. This is something that is to protect society, and again, to give that man that right. If he needs to do it, he does it because there's no boyfriend and girlfriend in Islam. There's no test driving, going here, going there. This is to give another woman that right. And you see a lot of men dying in wars. You see a lot of, you know, these are just some of the wisdom. It's not particularly for that, but if somebody from, you know, who's never heard this before, and then they're like, this might seem very bizarre or very, you know.
Well, I don't see how people can say it's bizarre, you know, because, you know, people can be homosexuals and they say, well, he's born that way. He's a homosexual. Here's a man saying he's desiring another man, or a woman saying she's desiring another woman, and this is acceptable and natural. But for a man to be that much of a man that he desires and wants more than one wife is bizarre. No, I think that what has happened is that we're in a modern day Mecca where every religion is allowed except for Islam. You know, have all these idols at the Kaaba back in those days. And now we have any religion. You can say that you smoke, you know, dope, and that's your religion. And that's like, oh, that's so cute. But when it says that, no, Islam is my religion, and I'm Superman, I want to have more than one wife, or I'm that much of a man if you'd like, you know, then that's bizarre. I find I'm fault with that.
But you do see a lot of politicians, presidents, where they end up committing adultery,
right?
They end up breaking. I mean, this was even.
Look what happened to Tiger Woods. Look what happened to the other guy on TV, the other TV host.
I have let you down. and I have let down my fans.
Yeah, I love my wife with all my heart. I'm a man just like everybody else. Embarrassed and ashamed for committing adultery.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Miss Lewinsky that was not appropriate.
That's the secret. Stop talking about the cheating. He cheated on you. Well, he's a man. Okay.
He's having an affair with another man's wife.
Yes.
You know? And what happened to the governors? And like you said, they pull these ladies in from Venezuela, and they say that she's a domestic servant. What she really is a slave girl for him.
Yeah.
You know, this is the modern terminology for a slave girl, is a domestic servant. And he gets caught having intercourse with this lady. And this is totally understandable, because this is the nature that Allah created men with,
yeah,
a desire for women.
Or even Hugh Hefner, it's okay, he's got his three girlfriends, they got a reality show about him, and that's okay, cool, but he's not giving them their rights as wives.
Right.
But now when the man steps up and does it God's way,
and lets his wife know,
yeah,
and doesn't put it in a hiding spot, and he's not sneaking around, this yeah is my wife. And he may put some shade on it, because, you know, you're not going to throw it in a lady's face,
yeah,
but this is my wife, and he handles his business legally with both of them, then that seems as bizarre.
She's got her own apartment. They're not, he's got, they have their own apartments, their own phone bills.
The woman should not be forced to live together unless some calamity happens.
Because some people think this is like some, you know, they're in the, you know, some
no,
kind
it's not
crazy,
a menage a trois.
None of that.
And these types
none
of
that,
you know, no, porno type situations.
None of that.
Rather, this is the type of thing is not acceptable in Islam. Rather, each woman is treated with respect. The woman has her own place, and the other lady has her own place. Now, let's say the man is poor. If the man is poor, then he shouldn't seek to get marriage if he cannot afford to provide for them. Let's say he has a place for them, and he loses his job. Then his situation is the same as any man who has one wife, and he loses his job. He doesn't have to divorce his wives because he lost his job. He may have to downsize, and that becomes the challenge of life, as it is with any other married people.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so we get to see a lot of the wisdom behind this, but the main thing is it's something lawful with God, and it's something that the creator of the heavens and the earth...
It's something that Allah loves. In fact, the usul, the fundamental with marriage, is two wives. Allah says, مَثْنَا وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاءَ 2, 3, or 4. وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَنْ لَا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. So then if you're afraid that you couldn't be just, and this is just it's in time, then only marry one. So when we find in the Sharia, in law, when there is a stated way, mathna, 2, 3, or 4, and then a condition, then the one that's conditional, that's the exception, and the fundamental is the first thing that does no conditions. So with marriage, the fundamental, and a lot of people hate to hear that. They hate to hear that. But the reality is the reality. The fundamental with marriage is plural marriage. And the way we see that this is the better thing is, as we stated, the prophet of Allah. Even if we can't say, we don't say every prophet, but majority of the prophets had more than one wife, right? But we also notice that the last prophet, who was the end of, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the end of all the prophets and the last example for mankind, had more than one wife. And this was not something specific for him, but his best companions also had more than one wife. So we find that that is the best situation. That is the better situation. And one wife is due to a condition. There has to be a stated condition that you are unable to be just in your time. Or socially, you can't set it up that way. There's a reason why you can't do it. Okay? But really, if the women knew polygyny is the better situation, it allows them the more freedom. It gives them more honor to do what they want. It keeps them in a lifestyle that is real honorable. They have more time to spend with their family. Women by nature are not as outward as men. I forget the terminology that there is, but the men go out and they speak with people. Not that women don't, but by nature they have more shyness than men. So sometimes if you come, introvert is the term. Women are more introverted than men. So a man's coming and going, you got one wife, a busy person like yourself. You come in and you inundate this lady with all the things you need her to do. She has no time for herself. She has no time for herself. But if you give her some affairs and then you go to the next house and you take care of some affairs over there, now she has some time for her own recreation, some time for herself to beautify herself, clean herself, and get ready to do something else. Go visit her friends, visit her mother, and do some of those things that the woman, we see the Western woman, thinks that she has. But she's running around like with a head chopped off. Now this woman, she gets to take a break. She doesn't have to cook every day. Now she can go get some other education and spend time bettering herself. What woman wouldn't want time like that and still have her man to protect her? And then she still, when she wants somebody to babysit her children, she has her co-wife over there, that somebody she knows that's in the family to trust and protect her children. So it's a beautiful situation when dealt with properly. But what happens a lot of time, trauma and drama, which leads to divorce and the breakdown of the family from within. Mm-hmm. There has to, because again, the purpose for the marriage is to have tranquility, peace. And if we live amongst ourselves like that and make that our point, then we wouldn't have so many problems. Because when these traumatic situations happen in the families, whereas the woman gets so bent out of shape, and normally this happens because of polygyny. I mean, we have to say the polygyny word, you know, real low. You know, nobody throwing anything at us off stage. No, but that's the thing. You know, a lot of times the ladies don't want to accept the fact that a man can have more than one wife. And this is not just something in Islam. It comes in Judaism, in Christianity, because lack of guidance. They just have a gumar if they're Italian, you know, their girlfriend on the side, or Mr. Jones, he has a girl down the block, and they know about it, and they pretend they don't recognize it. But in Judaism and in Islam and, you know, all the other types of isms, types of ways of lives, they have something similar, where the Chinese, they have their, concubine. They're slave girls and these types of things.
That's the some in the Chinese?
Chinese culture, they have that.
But
Islam,
yeah,
it makes it clear. You have a wife.
Yeah.
You have another wife.
No girlfriends.
No girlfriends.
No mistresses.
Well, there's no honor in that.
Yeah.
You know, there was a survey done in England not too long ago where they asked, you know, they have a lot of postmarital sex out there, meaning relationships there where the guy is married and he goes outside the marriage. And saying likewise, the woman's married, she goes outside the marriage. That happens so much. So they have whole neighborhoods where these ladies are living, and they're not the wife, they're the mistress. So they ask them, would you rather be a second wife or a co-wife than to be the mistress? And 90% of these ladies were talking about they'd rather be a co-wife, a second wife, and have honor. And their reasons were remarkable. Not necessarily for themselves, they said. They said for their children. Their children now are growing up as bastards. They can't have their father's name. They don't get to spend the same quality time with their fathers because they're not legally their children. And they have to hide the relationship. So they see there's no honor in being the mistress, the baby mama syndrome, and that type of thing like that. So in Islam, it really makes it clear, marry the lady and have this thing. And if it's so bad, then Allah would not have ordained it. You know, this becomes an issue too, because a lot of the ladies say, you know, I can't take it. What do you mean you can't take it? La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah has not made anything lawful or permissible that is a harm or a hardship on the society. In fact, polygyny is more for the ladies than it is for the men, because there are more ladies on the planet than there are men. And if you just go by the concept, well, just one lady, one man, then there'd be a number of women that didn't have any spouses. Not only that, Allah says in the Quran, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ شَهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. Okay? زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ شَهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. Meaning, Allah has made the beautiful, adorned, the love and the desire for women. So not only do men like women, they love to have that desire for women. It's something that is that Allah made them. So if Allah created them this way, then it's not something that's haram. It's not something that's haram at all. In fact, it's in order to keep the society safe. So we find that a lot of ladies find a problem with this. And it's okay not to like something. You can say, well, you know what? It's lawful, but I don't want it for myself. Okay? It may be a hardship. However, this is usually something that makes the woman go overboard and commit sins and want to make a traumatic situation. Now, I'm telling yourself and all the brothers around the world, you know, that the purpose of marriage is tranquility. And that if we withdraw the line and say, okay, when there's no peace, then we have to stop. Because Allah says that we have to live with them in kindness and let them go in kindness as well. So when all this trauma starts coming, then I think that it's incorrect for the men to allow the situation to prevail. You know, because now you cause harm on the other family, the new wife that's coming in, and now and you have an obligation to that wife to make sure that she's kept safe and that you don't bring the trauma that you have in one family into the next. And that's what you usually find. That the woman gets so depressed and so jealous that someone that you're actually finding tranquility outside of her auspices, and she's not going to give it to you, right? That she wants to take the drama from her house over to the next lady's house so that she likewise cannot have any good thing and good times. And she wants to share whatever bad qualities you have with that other lady. So, oh, you think he's so great, but he's like this, he's like that, in order to bring down the man in the sight of his family. This type of interaction is what causes, you know, dysfunctionality. As some of the ulama show us that if mama is not in tune with papa and papa's not in tune with and sync with mama, actually it says if the mother is not in sync with the father and the father's not providing for the daily needs of the mother, we're talking about the physical needs of the mother, then what will you have except for a dysfunctional child? How can you have a sane child in an insane environment? Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's very important that the men and the women learn what their roles are and how to control themselves.
Purpose with marriage is tranquility.
Well, that's
peace.
Hey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they are libasun lahun wa antum libasun lakum wa antum hunna libasun lakum. They are a cover, a clothing for you, and you are cloaking and clothing for them. What do your clothing do?
They cover you, protect you.
They cover your private areas, your defects. They keep you warm in the wintertime, right? You wear different ones when it's hot. It's different ones when it's raining. They're protection from you. If you have a family, you're married to a woman, and she's not, and you don't put on clothes that are ripped up and raggedy, right? You don't want to wear them. You don't go out like that. If they're not covering your private areas, meaning they're not concealing your business is all out in the street. You know, and everybody in the community knows this, that what's going on with you and your family, then that's a problem. If it's not, concealing your privacy, meaning helping you lower your gaze, you know, because now you go and you find peace. You walk in the house, and the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the tranquility, because a man is supposed to be outside in the dunya. Just like the clothes, when you go outside, it helps you from the outer weather. Right? And keeps your body safe. So likewise, when you're outside, you're seeing all these women, you're dealing with this dunya, and you don't want to come to a house that's crazy. So one of the things for tranquility is a big word, but under it means cleanliness. The house has to be clean. Under it means that when you walk in the house, your children are well kept. So you feel that it's worth it. I went out there fighting this dunya, dealing with all this kufr, and I come back home and my children are not clean. My house is dirty. My wife has not beautified herself. And I just saw this woman out in the street. She's a kafir, but she's beautiful and she's adorned herself. And I come in, what's competing with that? It's just natural. And I'm not saying that the brothers shouldn't do something to stay in shape. We say that because he shouldn't be Abu Bitna also. Coming in the house, his belly is like he's 9 months pregnant. You know, this is just as disgusting as for the lady that just lets herself go. And I'm not saying that women don't sometimes gain weight when they get older. They're having our children. We can't complain about that. However, there is a nature of keeping themselves up. We know that being fat and out of shape is not something that's natural for the human, because one of the signs of the last day, the Prophet ﷺ said, one of the signs of the last day is that obesity will be going on the rise. So that we know that this is not something that's normal. This is something that's one of the signs of the last day of people no longer taking care of themselves. And so this, when a man comes in his house, the Prophet ﷺ said, after taqwa of Allah, the best thing you can have, the best commodity in the whole world is a righteous wife. And then he swears, when you see her, you're pleased with her. So you come in the house, she's doing her thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that she's the most gorgeous woman in the world, but she's clean and she's beautified. Your house is clean and it's beautified. Your children are clean and they're beautified. She meets you with a nice manner and she allows you, through her consideration, to come out from the cold and being the ogre or the bear and wind down. And we have an example of that in the story of Sulaim, whose son died when her husband was out, and she beautified herself so beautiful, he would more than he had ever seen her before. When he came in, he was so amazed at her beauty. And she made such a nice meal for him. And then they had intercourse. And then afterwards, she told him in a nice way that your son had died. So he was totally satiated from being outside on the journey. And this has to be taken into consideration. And the prophet said about her, I don't know any bad thing about Sulaim. Showing that this is the way it's supposed to be in the family. Of course, the condition is the man has to be providing for the woman. And we, you know, this subject can go many different angles.
We're almost out of time. Let's start to wrap it up. And we're going to have to continue on and do another episode because this is such a vast topic. We're going to talk about, you know, keeping the marriage together. And we started to talk about another element of Islam that, you know, the man is allowed to go ahead if, because there's obviously following the legacy of the prophets, many of them had several, why Abraham.
All of them except for Isa ibn Maryam.
So they all, the majority of the prophets had...
The ones that we know about had more than one wife.
These were the best of humanity.
Right.
Yeah. So this is something where the man is obliged to take care of his responsibility. There's no, as they say, getting around. So you need to take care of your business and take this wife on as a responsibility. And it's a big responsibility, isn't it?
It is a big responsibility, yeah. And it's not for everyone. I'm not saying that everyone should go out and run out and get a new wife or a second wife or a third wife. I'm not saying that, but it's part of our society.
Yeah.
And it's not a part that can be ignored.
Yeah.
And it is something that is one of the major shy away things. And we can talk about how that should be done.
Yeah. So we'll get into, so we covered that. No girlfriends, no boyfriends in Islam. Is marriage, married to something so sacred, being kind to the wife and the wife reciprocating and giving the husband that right that he has, that he's the leader of the house, that he's the one that God Almighty put in charge. So he's driving the ship, steering the car. She's the co-pilot?
Yeah, she is. She is the co-pilot.
Yeah. So they're working together as a team?
They should be.
Yeah. And at least when they go here, if we can wrap it up, I think, because there's so much to talk about, as I said earlier, knowing the deen, knowing the divine guidance that was sent from the creator of the heavens and earth, Islam, that total and complete submission to the one God, knowing your rights and roles, so then at the end, you don't play the guesswork game. Like, we'll do it like this, we'll do it like that. And everything is not deduced from the verbatim word of God or the authentic sunnah of the last final
message. Well, see, this is why the marriage contract is very important in the beginning. Al-ilmu qabla aqwal wal a'mal. Knowledge precedes words and deeds, right? In the beginning of that contract, I have found that the most people that are involved in a contract, then the better the contract is. You know, like you said, people have to come learn. And we want to, that's what, you know, I want to do, provide the opportunity for people to come learn.
You have a class website that you do also?
Yes, I do. Women's Law, Women's Only Law class. You can find it at myfix.org, F-I-K-S.org. And it's for those people who really want to learn. It can't be done in a 30-minute sitcom.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to sit down, 30 minutes a day, and after and by, you'll learn your rights and you'll know your obligations. And it'll become part and parcel of your life.
Let's continue on talking about this topic when we come back. And inshallah, we'll have you back so we can continue on.
Walaykum
as-salam. May God Almighty Allah reward you. Thank you.
Jazakallah khair.
Oh, yeah.
You're about to meet a man who has four wives, and they'll all say they're one big happy family. And now one family is crusading in court to make their more the merrier lifestyle a legal one. And so far, they're winning.
One husband, four wives, 17 children.
I believe in living this lifestyle.
We know them as reality TV stars on the hit show Sister Wives.
I wouldn't want anything else.
But now, Hollywood's most famous polygamists have taken on a new, unlikely role as legal crusaders, embroiled in a courtroom fight over the fate of polygamy.
Are you prepared to take this all the way to the Supreme Court if you have to?
Absolutely.
It was really an issue of freedom of expression, freedom of love. Anybody should be able to organize their family according to how they choose.
And they won the first American polygamy ruling in more than 130 years. A federal judge siding with them in December, declaring a key part of Utah's polygamy law unconstitutional. Cody Brown can openly live with his wives just as long as there is only one marriage license. And Cody is only legally married to Mary Brown. The others are his spiritual wives.
Back here on the Dean Show with Sheikh Abu Toba, and you deal with a lot of different marital discourses. And we went from the beginning really trying to keep families together, the husband being kind to the wife, and the wife also giving the husband his rights, and they both living according to the divine system that God Almighty sent, which is Islam, tamper-free, tamper-proof. And then the divorce, if the divorce happens, we went off, we talked about polygyny also.
Yeah, we didn't really get to talk about divorce. We might have to
do another show for that. We talked about polygyny, and No boyfriend and girlfriend in Islam. Doing it the lawful way according to God's ways, that you take on another woman and you give her rights, you treat her kindly. She's not a concubine or a slave or a girlfriend or a mistress. She's a woman that you care for and you take care of. And the first wife now might feel a little bit like you went over her and that she's not good enough for her anymore. She's broken down, or, you know, what other things do you hear that are totally not true?
Well, the first thing that you hear...
Is that when a man wants to, since we went off into this topic, we went on this, you know, maybe we can stay on this for a little for the remaining time. And should a woman feel like she's now disrespected because it is, that she's put down, stepped on?
No, you know, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, a woman should not feel at all that polygyny is a disrespect to her. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she has to remember, Allah ordained polygyny. So it doesn't mean that every man has to do it. But if a man chooses to do it, it is not a disrespect to the woman at all. Allah would not order something that would disrespect the woman. A lot of women feel that they're something they did. If you're a good woman, your husband's going to want another wife. If you're a poor woman, a bad, your husband's definitely going to want another wife.
Why is that? No, is that just something natural?
زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. Allah says that He has created in mankind the love and desire and has beautified for man women. Everything about a woman attracts a man.
And you know, multi-billion-dollar industry, the porn industry. As a Muslim, you cannot you cannot be watching porn. You can't be doing any of these things
Your wife is supposed to be doing those things for you.
That's it, the wife.
The wife.
So this is really stress, because someone from the outside, again, might be looking at this like something that is just something totally... Like,
that's because they're inundated with things that are kufr. They have a plastic society that substitutes reality with, you know, like you said, porno, this thing's image, as opposed to a reality. You know, polygyny is for the health of the society, not for the detriment of the society. It's to uplift the women and to take care of them. You know, we have so many women out here who are depressed, who need someone to take care of them. And not only that, it's not just for the women, the men. The men themselves enjoy the company of women, and they have to do it in a lawful fashion, in a not an unlawful fashion. But it's no disrespect to the first wife. But I would say this, it's definitely not for the first wife to disrespect the next wife. Because after they're married, there is no first, second wife. They're just his wives.
Yeah.
There's no, I'm number one, I'm big one, I'm kabira, you're sagira. No, there's no big one, little you. No, they're all both your wives, and a husband has to treat them fairly.
Jealousy, how does the one deal with the jealousy? It's overwhelming.
Alhamdulillah, the jealousies. The wives of the Prophet were jealous. When we read the stories of the wives of the Prophet, where they even argued. I would suggest for men, never get into your wives' arguments. If they start arguing, hey, take your children, move them out the way so they don't have to be exposed to that. And the woman should be wise enough not to expose their children to these types of drama. Okay, because this is from a part of her being a covering for her husband. But the husband should not get involved, as we don't see the Prophet got involved with the arguments of the wives that he had. But the woman knew where to stop. Don't start cursing. Don't start doing these type of things. Jealousy is natural. However, there has to be a limit to it. Just like a man's desire for women is natural, but he has to have a limit. Meaning, he shouldn't go out there and have more than one wife. Ultramarital relations. Shouldn't have a girlfriend because he desires another woman. You know, he should get married within that, the context of Islam. Likewise, a woman can be jealous, but her jealousy shouldn't make her go knock the other lady's door down or curse at the lady or throw fits and traumatize the home environment. So there has to be, just like she wants him to not, what does she want? She want him to go out there and have, you know, a girlfriend? Is that what the solution is? Or does she want him to say, no, suppress that desire that Allah gave you? No. Either one of her statements is wrong. His desire to have another wife is a natural one. If he fulfills it in an honest, legal marriage, Islamically legal marriage, then that's okay. If he does it outside of that, then that's wrong. You know, and I wish women would just think about that. If they want their husband to show restraint, they have to show some type of restraint. However, the husband shouldn't be sneaking. He should go to the woman first and foremost, say, I believe in having another wife, and if I get a chance, I'm going to do it. Not do it and then tell her. Tell her that, and then say, hey, I'm not going to tell you when I get married. I'm just telling you now that I want another wife, and the way the Prophet did it, if he got married, he got married. I'll tell you afterwards. And then let her get used to that idea before he just runs out and gets married. You know? And having a wife involved in the process may not be the best thing. Everybody has to go about their affairs their own selves. But the more people involved, men involved, in the, I mean, from her side of the family and his fight, then there should be some khitman as well. I shouldn't say the more people involved. Yeah. There has to be some cover. The Prophet ﷺ said, go about your affairs with some cover. So you shouldn't go announcing, oh, I'm talking about marrying this sister, and then it doesn't work. Your wife hears it, her feelings are hurt. Oh, I'm thinking about marrying this sister. Your wife hears it, it doesn't work out, her feelings are hurt again. Oh, you're trying to marry everybody in the city. No, your wife shouldn't find out until you're married so that it doesn't ruin it. The Prophet ﷺ said that when you find somebody that you like and they like you, you get married. If you don't, you're going to cause fitna and mischief. So you shouldn't expose your wife to every woman that you think you're going to marry, especially since it doesn't always work out.
Yeah.
And you want to get somebody good that's going to work for you and your whole family, not some young lady or old lady that's going to come into the family and think that your wife is broken. Oh, I'm here because you ain't doing something. No, you're here because my husband wants you, and they shouldn't be their conversation. If the woman focused on their wives, their husbands, and their household, they have nothing to do with the next lady. Mm-hmm. Has nothing whatsoever. And the men should stop explaining and trying to explain why they want to get another wife. Just like we can't understand why a woman wants to have a baby or how it feels when she has her menses, they cannot understand what it feels like when a man wants to have another wife. It's something natural that he put only in men and something natural he only put in women. We can never know what it feels like to have a baby. We could never understand that. And likewise, they could never understand what it feels like for a man to have the desire to have another wife. And if they say about the issue about how can you love them both? You have two parents, you love them both. You love them differently. You have brothers and sisters, you love them also. You know, love is not something that just can be contained just by one person. You know, you love and your love is not limited like that. And you're constantly sharing. And they love as well. If they ask them, well, which one of my children do you want me to kill? If I don't want them, which one don't I love? And you love them all, and you treat them fairly, not the same, I should say, but fairly.
Yeah.
Because they're different personalities and the different needs they have. And likewise, that's the case with marriage.
Yeah. We're going to have to cut out.
I'm sorry.
Inshallah, God willing, we have to continue on with this series, talking about family, talking about divorce, and some of the ways that we can help keep the family together, some of the ways that we can keep from just doing it the wrong way, and focus and push people to get educated on their deen, on this beautiful way of life of all the messengers of God, Islam, that complete submission to the one God, doing His will, not our desires. We can continue on, inshallah.
Sure, inshallah.
May God Almighty, the Creator, Allah, reward you. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be on you. And thank you again for tuning in to another episode of The Deen Show. You can go to thedeenshow.com. Sheikh Abu Toba has his own section there, so you can see some of the shows that we've covered in the past. And as we started with peace, we end with peace. And we hope that you can continue to learn about this beautiful way of life, the way of life of all the messengers of God, submitting yourself entirely to the one God, not your desires. So in matters of worship, prayer, fasting, charity, everything's been laid out how to do it. And in marriage, the role of the husband and the wife, how to live together in peace and harmony so you can have tranquility in the house. If we do it God's way, Allah's way, we're going to have it that way. But if we run and do it according to our desires, then there's going to be corruption and there's going to be so much disunity. And we want to make sure that there's unity, and we want to make sure that we're having happiness and finding solace within each other. But we got to do things Allah's way, God's way, the Creator's way, so we can achieve success in this life and success definitely in the next. And we'll see you next time here on The Deen Show. Until then, peace be unto you.